Thank you so much for joining us today for the Pastor's Potluck Podcast. Here on the Pastor's Potluck, it's similar to a normal potluck where you might get something that you want and there may be something that you just want to pass up altogether. And that's okay. There's something here for everybody. Our goal here is to encourage you and maybe in the process entertain you. If you're ready, let's dig in. Well, here we are for another episode of the Pastor's Potluck Podcast. Pastor Scott is rocking the Chuck E. Cheese sunglasses today.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah. I think one of the first things that you told me, like, you're like, dude, I just lose sunglasses all the time. And then recently, within the last 6 months or so, you had like a decent pair of sunglasses.
Yeah, I paid $30 for them.
That's a decent pair of sunglasses. I mean, it wasn't
I lost them in the ocean.
Wasn't like $120 Oakleys or anything like that.
That's how I ended up with these.
Yeah.
On my beach trip, I lost $30. That is the most I've ever spent in my life on a pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly, new to the sunglass thing as well. Like, I didn't really wear them until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And really probably just like the last 3 years for baseball. So I'm not like real accustomed to having sunglasses on. So I noticed this big wave. We were all out in the ocean, this big wave, all the other adults grab their head like this. To
wonder what they're doing.
I just like dip down into the water to hit that wave. And I come up and I'm like, oh no, they're gone. And Megan had bought them for me. I think it was for like Father's Day or something like that. So she is so mad. She's so mad. But the beautiful thing is, because we got them from MP3 Baseball, that dude on TikTok and Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
You get one free replacement pair, even if they're lost by being an idiot in the ocean. So I got them replaced for free, which is awesome. But on the... until I could get home and get that process started, Megan found these at the dollar store at Myrtle Beach this summer. And somehow, these are $2. They are the cheapest that I've ever had. Still have them all these months later. I mean, we're talking, I was at the beach in July. This is January.
Yeah.
So I'm like 6+ months with the $2 glasses. And for real, they do exactly what I need them to do. Plus, they're a great conversation starter.
Yeah, I started talking
to you
this morning.
Oh, what's up with them sunglasses? See, I wear these. I like...
they look like the ones that you pay with tickets after you like go on a skee ball run at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, and I would wear those too. Those are actually probably nicer than these. Yeah. No, I wore these to a baseball tournament once, and they don't match any of our team's colors or nothing, but I still wore it anyways just to be obnoxious.
For sure.
And, they were people talked.
What's worse, though? Yellow sunglasses or white sunglasses?
I like white.
I
like white sunglasses.
Yeah. I can't wear sunglasses. I can. Okay, so it's been a long time since I've gone to the eye doctor, and I've actually got an eye doctor appointment coming up. I've probably, with someone who wears glasses 24/7, I should probably go to the eye doctor a little bit more frequently than once every 9 years. But I got these, and then they were running a promotion, so it was a buy one, get one. So if you bought frames and lenses, then you get another set of frames and lenses for free. So what I did is I got the exact same frames but with sunglass lenses, and this was whenever Nolan was a baby, and he got a hold of them and just snapped them right in half. And I probably wore them twice, but I can't wear like clip on. I can't put sunglasses on top of glasses.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to wear them old grandma ones that fit over top of everything.
Or those ones that
if you wore I would not go out in public with you if you had those.
No, dude. It's just looking like a dweeb everywhere I
wear. Yeah, I just would not go out in public with you if you wore those.
Well, what's worse, those big grandma ones that go over or the ones that like clip on and you have to flip
up? Please don't flip your glasses.
You know what I'm saying? It's got like the little flip ups. I mean, which ones are worse?
Oh, I don't like them. I don't know. The flip-up ones, though, once they're down, they look like normal glasses.
Yeah.
It's just the people that have them flipped up.
Like inside the building. Around, you're like, just unclip them already.
Just, like, take them off, man. Because when they're down, they just look like normal glasses.
Yeah.
But if you're – all right, so you are the worst if you have them flipped up. I'll tell you that much. They're worse than the grandma ones.
Yeah.
If they're flipped down, they're fine. In which case, the grandma ones are definitely worse.
Yeah.
You didn't know you got on this potluck podcast today to talk about sunglasses in January.
I know.
But I put these on. It's very sunny in Charleston today.
Yes, it is.
So on my drive here, these were in my car. So I threw them on. And then I got here and I had this moment of hesitation. Am I going to take these off or wear them into the building? And I went with the building.
Yeah.
I had to have something that made me feel loose because today we're recording this on Monday. It's supposed to be Sweatpant Monday.
Yeah.
But I have a meeting with someone that's mentoring me.
Yeah.
At a decent restaurant. So I thought, I'm not going to wear sweatpants for this meeting. So I had to feel loosey-goosey in one way or another. So I'm rocking the yellow sunglasses.
Yeah. It was good. Well, we're getting into a new kind of like little mini series that you and I have been doing. You know, we've gone through Exodus. We've gone through, you know, the story of Moses. We've gone through just a whole lot of different stories in the Old Testament. We're going to kick off a new one with Jonah. And this is just such a interesting topic because I think that if you've grown up in church, you've heard just such like a very cookie cutter version of this story, and there's so much more to unpack and take away from this than what we're accustomed to hearing, because we hear Jonah disobeys God, he gets his attention, and then he goes and then he obeys God, and then that's typically what you hear. It's more of the focus in Jonah chapter 1 than anything, but there's so much more to the story of Jonah than just like, okay, I'm disobeying God. I'm stuck in the belly of a fish.
Yeah.
And then the fish spits me out, and then I just go on my merry way to Nineveh, and all is right.
Yep.
So let's start off at the beginning. And I was telling you this morning, I said, this is one of the weird things that we just don't know much about Jonah beforehand.
Yeah.
But it just starts off, and it's like, Jonah is... You know, God gets a hold of Jonah and he says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of backstory on Jonah. I'm certain that the Jewish people probably, or the Israelites of this time, probably knew, you know, when the story started surfacing, they had heard it for so long. Maybe they had more information on his background and such. But, yeah, we just start with the presupposition that Jonah is some sort of prophet. That God now has this very special assignment for.
Yeah.
And unless you listen to my Fishy Faith series from 2019, this will probably be an incredibly fresh look at the story of Jonah. Because I didn't realize this until I preached this in 2019. Most, especially when we get to chapter 2, so it should be whenever I'm up next. Most of the way that we preach about the large fish or well or whatever we want to call it and such is actually like just drastically wrong. In fact, I used to teach on it wrong before I dove really deep into this. So this will be a pretty fresh look at Jonah for people. So I'm excited to do that. That's why I chose this one.
Yeah. So we see that. I want to talk about this story, okay?
Yeah.
Just to kind of give like a painting a picture just a little bit. So in the beginning of this sermon series that you preached on, you talked about the CEO at the time of Ford. And
yes.
And I think that this is important to kind of set up our conversation.
Yep.
So walk us through that story.
Yeah. So Ford was not doing good. And so they hired Alan Mulally to come in and to kind of transform the culture of Ford and really get it back to where it needed to be and such. And so he remembers on his first day pulling into the executive parking lot at Ford there was not a single Ford sitting in the parking lot.
Mm.
So all of the employees at Ford had gone to other companies to buy their cars. And these are the executives.
Yeah.
Right. So these are expensive cars that they are going to other companies to buy. So you, your job every day that you show up that you work for Ford is to do what?
Was to make the
to
best.
Sell Fords.
Well, it's also to make the best car as well. Yeah. Like it's something like, it's like me coming to work here and I'm wearing a different church shirt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't believe what's happening here.
Yeah.
Like is worth the
Your
while.
Your job is to sell Fords.
Yeah.
Which means that you have to convince people that Fords are the best car on the market.
Yeah.
If you don't drive it, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Because you chose something else.
Yeah.
Right? So when he pulls in, he goes, perhaps I see what the problem is.
Yeah.
Even the people that work here don't buy into what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So he had to change the whole culture to align the way that they were actually functioning with the actual goal of Ford to sell Fords. Right, because if you won't drive it, you can't sell it.
Yeah,
right. There was an inconsistency there, and like this is a little bit of a crude example. So I apologize if you don't like this, but this is just the truth of the matter. I knew someone once.
Yeah,
and they loved preaching about healthiness, like in all. I mean. Health this, health that. Oh, you shouldn't do that with your kids. You shouldn't do that. Health, 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 health. Just like you would just, it was nauseating.
Yeah.
Health, 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 health. This person was overweight.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, what? I'm not listening to you.
Yeah.
I don't care what you have to say about health because you are unhealthy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, you don't get to talk to me about health.
Yeah.
When you're not healthy. And it's like, you don't get to sell me a Ford if you won't drive it.
Yeah.
Right? If there's not a consistency in what you say and what you do, people are going to sniff that out. That's why the church gets accused of being full of hypocrites.
Yeah.
And the truth is, like, it is full of hypocrites.
Yeah.
Now, people outside the church don't understand why that's the case and why it's really not. It's a problem, but it's not a problem because it's exactly what the scriptures and common sense would tell you.
Yeah.
The church is going to be full of hypocrites because we preach the fact that there was only one perfect person ever. So if you find us slipping and we're part of the faith community, well then, yeah, that's because we're not Jesus. That's why we need Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. So there's always going to be hypocrites. But at the end of the day, like if you won't drive it, you can't sell it.
Yeah,
and that's what Mulally found when he got in there. He was just blown away. He's like seeing all these Porsches and BMWs and all this stuff. And you go, yeah. So your job is to lead this company to sell Fords, and yet you don't drive it?
Yeah.
That inconsistency. And so like this series when I did it in 2019 was called Fishy Faith. And we started off the whole series talking about like there's something fishy about your faith if your conduct does not match your confession. So if you say one thing, oh, I'm a health nut.
Yeah.
But you're fat. You're okay, without some sort of medical condition.
Yeah.
You're not a health nut.
Yeah.
You might like being preachy. You might like meddling in other people's business, but you're not a health nut if you're not healthy.
I feel seen.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I always talk to people. I'm like, dude, you should probably eat like a little bit healthier. And then like right before we recorded this, I ate like two donuts.
Yeah, but you're in good shape.
I would
listen. Like if you were like, hey, let me give you some pointers on, I would listen to that because you're not 500 pounds.
Some you know days I wish I was.
If you were 500 pounds and you were trying to like, hey, I don't know if you should eat that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't listen to you.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing with our Christian walk. Like, if your life is a freaking disaster.
Yeah.
Like, and you don't, like, listen to the wisdom of the scriptures, it doesn't seem like it is having any effect on your life whatsoever, people are not going to think that you're legit.
Yeah.
Like, whatsoever. And again, I am not one of those people that is trying to preach perfection whatsoever. I'm just saying, if the overall trajectory of your life is a dumpster fire in every possible way, I just, people, not maybe not me, but people will go, something doesn't quite seem right there.
Well, what does it say to other people who you've told your coworkers, your family, your friends that you're a Christ follower, and then you continue to go out and do things that make your life absolutely miserable, where you're drinking and partying and doing stuff on the weekends, and it's like I want to say that I believe in these things, that Jesus and he has the power to forgive and save and to heal and to restore, but I'm not giving over areas of my life to allow him to do that, because it's almost kind of like a selfish nature, so to speak, just to be able to, but I still want to do the things that I want to do, but I just want to surrender over maybe Sunday morning to where I fit, or I check out a box and, you know, like, okay, Sunday morning, I went to church, check that off. You know, it's hypocrisy at its finest.
Yeah. And there's going to be people that are hypocrites in the church with good intention. There's people that are hypocrites in the church with bad intention.
Yeah.
Right. And it's very difficult for the world to sort that out, because, again, they think, but a lot of this comes from people that are super judgy.
Yeah.
Like inside the church, they've been really judgy to people outside the church. So therefore they think that everyone inside the church is like that. And they're supposed to, like, if you're going to say something about my lifestyle, then you better be perfect and all this. There's just such a misunderstanding with people outside the church. This was my issue growing up, actually. Like, I was convinced inside the church, all of those people were perfect. Like, I just was convinced, like, they don't struggle with stuff. They don't do anything wrong. Like, they're just 100% do what God wants them to do all the time. And because that was the perception I had before I was a Christian, it was what drove me away for so long. Because I was like, oh, gosh, I can't do that. Like,
yeah.
These, you mean to tell me these people don't do anything wrong ever?
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Like, it was just, I knew my life well enough to go, what? Even the moments as I was growing up that I wanted to give faith a chance, I would fail so quickly that then I was convinced, I'm like, oh, I'm not, this isn't for me. Because I prayed that prayer that they told me to pray at church camp. I went to that altar, but seriously, I'm not. I had a time when I was a teenager. I went to the altar at a morning service at church camp and was like, I don't even know if I should share stuff like this, but I'm going to. Was like already like trying to make out with a chick in the dormitory like an hour later. And so every time that I did something like that, like I was like convinced. I went and prayed the prayer. I had people up there praying with me. We was crying. I was super repentant. And then I walked away from that moment, and like an hour later, I'm like making out with this chick already. Like, and like with really bad intentions, just to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I'm processing that in my head. I'm like, how was I at the altar an hour ago, crying my eyes out with all my friends around me, like, yeah, we're going to start this journey with Jesus, and I'm already messing it up within an hour.
Yeah.
How? So clearly that prayer didn't work.
Yeah.
That was my mindset. That's that mindset of people that don't understand grace. And that's why none of this stuck with me until I was 23 and I came to Southridge and I hear this, the gospel really, like, in a way, it's like, hey, we're all kind of like messed up and broken in here, but we're in this faith thing because of that.
Yeah.
Not because we don't have that issue. It's because we do have that issue. And I was like, so when that happened, I look back on my life and I go like, oh my gosh, man, things could have been so much different. So much different. I don't know if that's right. So different. Had I understood that,
your path would have changed.
Yeah, because I always had a desire to follow Jesus.
Yeah,
I did. I was never one of those. I was never an atheist. I was never like none of that. It was just like, okay, I can't follow these rules. Like,
yeah,
I just want to go and do this and experience all this. Like, I didn't realize that everyone in the church had the same issues. They're not as forward as me to talk about it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And had I realized that, I would have probably fought for my faith a little bit harder during the formative years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If someone had been like, hey, no, look, you got saved this morning, but the desire to make out with chicks didn't go away within an hour, Scott.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been, like, that was probably, I bet I was 15, 16, somewhere around there. If you've been, like, that interested in girls for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years already at this point.
Yeah.
You thought it was going to go away in an hour? You thought it was just like, you thought praying that prayer and going to the altar was a magic trick?
Yeah.
That's not the way it works. No one talked to me about like, hey, you made that commitment this morning. Now I'm going to walk with you over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Years. Here I am. I'm 13 years down the path of following Jesus, and I'm still a screw up.
Yeah.
But no one told me. Like, no one was like, it doesn't, like, yes, you're a hypocrite. But if you have good motive in it, that you're striving to do what's right and still fall, okay, that's one thing. Now, there are hypocrites in the church that are rightfully hypocrites.
Yeah.
And they have bad intentions, right? Like, they have settled for some version of Christianity that is not Christianity whatsoever, and they attend church every once in a while and contribute very little to the kingdom, so the way they sleep better at night and feel morally superior to other people.
Yeah.
They have bad intentions as Christians. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that, like, you love Jesus, but you struggle. Like,
yeah.
Right? It's that, there's like a reel or a meme or something that's like, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Like, yeah. It's like those people, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love Jesus, but I'm still struggling in different areas.
Yeah.
And, like, Over this journey of following, like, I've met people that are like way further down the path than me.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff that they struggle with might be different than what I struggle with, but they're still struggling.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that when I was 12. I thought, oh man, them people, like, they have to have it. I've never seen them do anything wrong. Like, I don't see them. They're not cussing. They're not drinking. They're not smoking. In fact, they're very judgmental of anyone that does any of those things.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I just saw that. I was like, oh, these people don't ever, like, I'll never forget. I was probably a teenager, and we went to Chili's. Our family went to Chili's, and we saw a family we went to church with, and they were both sitting in there with big old pints of beer. And I thought, whoa, someone from our church is out in public drinking beer? I mean, I was taken back as a teenager, because all I've ever heard is, oh, that's horrible, awful, nasty. You don't do that if you're a Christian. You don't do that. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, wait a second. These are people that are, like, really involved at our church.
Yeah.
So they're not Christians. That's what I'm thinking immediately. Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess they're not Christians. Like, that was my immediate thought.
Well, then every time you see them at church, that's the only thing you're focused on. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're here.
But today. That's like, why are they someone here? Someone told me. I was like, hey, but I just always thought, I don't know if we were taught this or I just picked it up, that, oh, yeah, no, you can look at someone in that one moment and decide whether or not they're a Christian.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, the longer I do this, I go, you really can't do that. Right? I've met too many people. Like, I met a couple that had been living together. They'd been living together, had kids together for so, like, and then they got saved.
Yeah.
And yet they didn't stop living together after they got saved. Now, at one point in my life, I'd have been like, well, see, they're not serious about their faith if they didn't make a change immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, but I met with these folks before I did their wedding. The whole reason they wanted to get married in the first place is because they knew they were in the wrong and wanted to make things right.
Yeah.
And they're in there quoting scripture to me. Like I've had people in my office for premarital counseling that weren't living together. And you would have thought on the surface, oh, yeah, those people were what? Like, that marriage was a disaster.
Yeah.
These two people, they were living together. What the church has always said, living in sin. And listen, this is not an advocating for this. I'm just saying you have to get people's story. You can't just look at a moment in their life and decide what they are. These people are telling me how on fire they are for the Lord. They're not just telling me. I see it in every aspect of their life, like God is moving and all this. And there's this area of their life that is out of alignment right now. Absolutely, it's not as it should be. Something should change. But they're in the process of making that change.
Yeah.
I did not understand that growing up whatsoever. I just thought all those people had it all together. And I've just seen too much now, because I've also seen these people that I thought there was nothing in the world that these people ever did wrong. And then now they're divorced. What? These were people that I grew up, they were my teachers growing up at church.
Yeah.
And I was convinced in those years that those people walked on water just like Jesus. And now they're divorced. Some of them out of the church, all these different things.
Yeah.
Raising kids. Oh my gosh. I want to make sure that they understand, what it is that God has called us to as far as holiness. Yes, I am all, we're part of the Church of God, Anderson. We are holiness people.
Yeah.
Yes, but also grace. There is a standard, but if I didn't need grace because I could always had it together, what role does Jesus play at that moment?
Yeah, there's always this, there's a lot of people that kind of use this, kind of marking stick, almost like this unattainable line that people have to try to jump over or cross. And it's just like with anything in life, some people, just depending on where they are in their faith journey, it's like you have to understand that they are working and striving towards that.
Yep.
And we are all trying to work and strive towards that. And how do we encourage someone to continue in that working and not just put them down because they fall short, because I fall short of any kind of where I'm supposed to be because I've got pastor in front of my name on a business card or something. Mm-hmm. It's we're working towards something. We're moving towards it. We're striving towards it. We're trying to seek after Jesus and allow him to take those areas of our life and do something radical with them. And the understanding that each and every single one of us, there's going to be moments in life that we're going to fall short. And we see that with Jonah. As you mentioned, it's like, oh, Jonah's a prophet. This guy's, he obviously is following the Lord.
Yeah. So you're thinking, oh man, he's a prophet.
Yeah.
I bet he doesn't mess anything up. I bet. I mean, I'm telling you right now, we had a pastor growing up. I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody. But we had a pastor growing up after they left the church, years down the road, he completely abandoned his family and all this stuff.
Yeah.
He destroyed me.
Yeah.
Because my thought was, what? Pastors don't do that.
Yeah.
Pastors are perfect. They don't ever make mistakes. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
There's no way that could be true of him. And I remember this being a big thing when it all came out. And I was like, no. It's that sort of stuff messed me up.
Yeah.
Because I was going, well, wait a second. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I thought he was perfect because he's part of the church. He's a Christian. They don't do bad stuff.
Yeah.
He abandoned his family. He has a new family. He has a drinking problem. What are you? He's the pastor. That can't. I just thought, I don't even know that I've thought about that in the last 15 years. But it just hit me. I had some of those moments, I guess, growing up that really gave me a lot of questions about my categories.
Yeah.
That I think that if I would have known them better, I could have probably navigated things better, because that was always my thought. I can't tell you the amount of times, especially being raised Nazarene, because they are not eternal security people. They are way down the road on the eternal security thing. And I'm not an eternal security person either, but the Nazarenes are bro, if you better get saved every week in the Nazarene church, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that they teach that or whether it just happens like that. I don't know, and I'm not throwing shade on the Nazarenes. If it was not for them, I would not be where I am today. Yeah. I love the Nazarenes, but like you get saved like every week in the Nazarene church. I can't tell you the amount of times I was at an altar praying to give my life to Jesus, but then like I one time I went had this encounter at church camp, and I got saved, or at least I thought I did, and then everything was good. Like that whole week, my life was different, but it was while I was at church camp. Yeah. In fact, three or four of the nights at church camp that year didn't even get to the sermon because so many kids were following my lead of giving my, like, I'm telling you, I was like praying all day long for people to get saved. We would get to those evening services and worship would start going and kids would just like flow into the altar like hour, like every night, yeah. Every night, just boom, boom, boom. It was like nothing you'd ever seen. I left that week. I'll never forget. And I was in high school, I'm fairly certain, and I was flipping through the TV channel, or channels on the TV, and Howard Stern came across. And, of course, there was, like, some, like, half-naked chick on there, and I just sat there and watched it. And because I sat there and watched it, I had already convinced myself, well, that was fake. Everything that just happened the whole past week, that was fake.
Yeah.
And I just walked away from it. It happened over and over and over and over. And like I had another encounter, another church camp or a youth convention or something. Another encounter like that. I show up at baseball the next day or the next time that I had baseball. And I'm right back to cussing and dipping with all the other guys. And in my brain, I go, well, I messed it up again. I guess this is really not for me. Because every time I try it, I mess up like immediately.
Yeah.
I just never had, like, I never, I'm realizing now, my parents are the type of people that had I just gone and talked to them, they would have helped me through this. But, like, I just didn't. Like, I just kept it all to myself and was like, I guess I'm not a Christian. I guess it's not for me. And it really sucks because, yeah, I you know, I was just sharing this on the Extra Point. I took a really hard path to get where I am now, and now I have to live in a whole lot of brokenness.
Yeah,
a whole lot of frustration because of the way that I've been broken, because of the path that I chose to walk, that is making my life in Christ now so much more difficult than what it would have to be if I hadn't been broken in all those different ways on my path to where I'm at now.
Yeah.
You want to do chapter one next time?
Since I don't
really got through the introduction.
I'm trying to keep it in Jonah.
we just need to do chapter one next time now that we've done the introduction.
So I do want to talk a little bit about this because we see this we see Jonah, we understand that he's he's following God, he's a prophet, and then there's this calling. There's this thing that God has told him that he needs to do, and then we see this fall because of it. And it's funny because there's a moment in the ship to where there's all these different types of people. And so we understand that the sailors are more accustomed to the storm than anybody, but they mm-hmm. realize that this is something different. And then they're talking amongst themselves and they ask Jonah, and they're like, hey, who do you serve? And he's like, well, I serve the God. And then they're like, okay, dude, what were you really supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
and it's funny because they're like, okay, dude, like you didn't obey the God who you said created the seas and the wind and all of this that's going on. And they just toss him overboard. They're like, dude, you got to get your crap together. Just go figure it out.
Yeah. They're having a hard time. Like the people on this ship are polytheistic pagans.
Yeah.
So if there's a storm, right. And this is, again, this is so funny. This is how we think of this as a very ancient thing.
Yeah.
Oh no, us modern people, we're too. No, this is how people still function.
Yeah,
everything that happens is karma. Oh, you've upset something in the universe, so now that's why this is happening. This is the same mindset that these sailors have.
Yeah,
we're going through a storm. Why? Somebody did something bad.
Yeah.
So you're getting exactly what you deserve. And they go, holy cow. And there's probably a time in my life where I would have bought into that, to be honest. But I've been like, oh, you know, you did this. Again, I keep bringing this back to my own personal story, but that's because I've lived so much of this.
Yeah.
And I want to try to help people. Like, this is what happened when my grandmother got sick with cancer. I could not understand why this was happening, because my, I guess my worldview was good stuff should happen to good people, bad stuff should happen to bad people.
Yeah, why would somebody that I love and that I know is following the Lord so diligently go through something? Yeah.
Like my grandmother, there's a thing in the Nazarene church, like if you've been like putting in some time in the Nazarene church a long time serving and all this stuff, you get this thing. Not everybody gets it. I've only known maybe less than two or three people probably that have ever got it. You get what's called the Timothy Award for service. My grandmother got that.
Yeah.
Like she was my grandfather died whenever my mom was very, like, I think when she was a baby, essentially. I don't know that she ever even met him. So my grandmother, on practically no money, with no help, raised four kids, three boys, three, like, tough boys to raise.
Yeah.
And my mom raised them in a Christian home, provided for them all by herself, served the church, gave to the church faithfully. Was a woman of the scriptures, loved the scriptures, loved the Lord, till her very last thing she said to me was talking about how she can't wait to be with the Lord. And I had to watch her go through having colorectal cancer, lose her hair, be humiliated by having to go out in a wig or being bald, and have to watch her go through that, have to watch her get a colostomy bag to where she can now no longer use the restroom. Like, I had to watch that. I'm going, okay, God, you're going to have to walk me through this one.
Yeah.
Why is it that someone that has done all of this stuff for you, how could you possibly do that to her? Like, that was my mindset. It's the same as what these sailors had. All right, so we're in a storm, so somebody did something wrong.
Yeah.
It's exactly where they're coming from. It's that same worldview. It's like the karma worldview that we have now. Like, oh, and that's why people are getting caught up in this, like, new age, like, yeah, new age religions with crystals and energy and all this. Because if I could just fix the energy in the room, or the energy in my, you know, that's surrounding me, then I can start to alter things. It's like, this is just not the way that the world functions. You know what? Sometimes bad things happen for no reason whatsoever that we can see.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And that would be because the worst thing happened to the best person. Right? Yeah. Like the crucifixion of Jesus, if you were to use the standard that we use, you go, how could you let something so awful happen to someone so good? He goes, well, it's a good thing bad stuff happens to good people, because without it, none of us could get saved.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like we need that. But now, I say all that to backtrack to Jonah. Jonah did do something wrong, and there's a very good chance that he is in the midst of a storm because he did something stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we end up in the midst of a storm in our lives for unrelated reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe someone else did something stupid, and you're having to reap the consequences of that. Maybe it's just, you know, it's just the way the world works sometimes. Bad stuff happens. Jonah is in the midst of a storm of his own making, would be my assumption.
Yeah.
On this text. That, yep, you're now going to have to go through this because you did something stupid, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's the, I used to see this thing on the internet all the time. It's like, there's a reason for everything. Like, people love saying that. It's like, yeah. And sometimes the reason is that you're stupid and did something wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, there's always a reason for everything that happens. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes that reason is you.
I can't believe they turned off the electricity. Well, it's like, well, you did something stupid by not paying your bill.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man, I'm in, you know, we're having financial troubles. Really? You're having financial troubles?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps you don't need all the stuff that you have.
Yeah.
Or perhaps you should get a job.
Or you should quit playing the lottery.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, man, I just need the Lord to see me through this. It's like, well, did you get yourself into that? Because if you did, that's kind of unfair that you expect God to get you out of it if you got yourself into it. He may, in fact, help you through it, but, I mean, you're not entitled to it by any means.
Yeah.
Right, so this it's very, like, I love that we think these ancient folks are so primitive in, like, oh, you've upset the God of the wind and the waves. Since, yeah, we still do this.
Yeah.
We still do this to this day. Oh, man, I've upset the energy. I was watching a YouTube video last night. This stinking guy is like telling the audience that's watching his YouTube. He's like, listen, all this bad energy is on me. It's not on you. This bad energy is on me. It's not on, I'm saying it right now. It's not going to get on any of you. I was thinking, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're watching a YouTube. What are you talking about, man? And like, you think that like, I was just kind of blown away. I was like, this is not, what are you doing?
Oh yeah, dude. Well, I just started this season of Survivor last night, season 13. And they have this guy on there and his name's Cowboy. And he's doing like all of like these pressure treatments and stuff. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, cause there's people walking around. They're like, oh, I got a headache. And so like, he's doing this thing where he's like rubbing their head and he starts pinching the skin between their eyebrows. And it creates like this ginormous red mark. He's like, oh, that's all the bad energy that's going to leave. So whenever that redness goes away, and it stays like, he's pinched it so hard, it stays like, on their foreheads.
You don't think that red spots from you?
Yeah. You're like, dude, you're pinching it. But he's like, oh, that negative energy, whenever that redness goes away in a couple of days, like it's all going to be gone and you're going to be free of headaches and you're going to go through life. And so I'm glad that I was here to help get that negative energy. Like, you maybe next time just make some better decisions. And it's like, what? Dude, what are you talking about? Like, you just pinched the nonsense out of my forehead.
If I have a red spot, I'm pretty sure I know what it's from.
It's from you pinching me.
Yeah.
You're about to have a red spot on your mouth, bruh. Quit pinching me in my head, in my face.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Whenever we pick up, I want to talk. This is where I want to pick up next time. I want to talk about why Jonah made this decision and just some of the outside factors, because I think that this is a understanding. Maybe we can kind of empathize with Jonah a little bit of why he made the decision to not obey God.
Yeah, I got some stuff on that for sure.
So,
if you see my handwriting on that, you can't use it.
Yeah. I don't know what your handwriting looks like, but this is a printed one.
It's also not cut really neat like that.
Yeah, I know. If you could have, I think we've done this one before, but it's all right. If you could have any superpower for a day, but it had to be a quirky one, which one would it be? So, you can't fly. You're not indestructible. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do, like, it's got to be something crazy. Like,
and it's only for 24 hours?
Yeah, only for 24 hours.
What if I could, like, lose weight at a super fast pace, but it's allowed to stay off after the 24 hours?
That's pretty quirky.
I'd choose that.
I think I would shoot spaghetti from my fingertips.
I feel like you've premeditated that.
I have, because
you've been thinking about that.
I just would walk around and just set up tables right out of Olive Garden and be like, look, I got the best spaghetti ever, and it's going to be the weirdest thing ever, but...
I would not eat that.
Here's some spaghetti.
I'm not eating no
Here's
finger
some
spaghetti.
Spaghetti from, and just, no. just slap it down.
I am not eating
table.
Finger spaghetti ever. Oh Lord, sakes. Yeah, I'm gonna go with rapid weight loss. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to eat all your carbs anyways. Then
I don't know. It's just funny. It's just funny. Like, hey man, you got some spaghetti for me? I would fill up the refrigerator with so much leftovers.
You got 24 hours to do it. Oh my gosh.
I'd just go to a food bank where there's
all the things that you could do. This is,
I know. I'd feed a bunch of people.
Is it already sauced?
Yeah, it's ready. Like it's good.
So the meat sauce and everything.
Yeah, it's meaty. Oh, it's good.
This is awful.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see you around. Y'all have a good weekend. Thank you so much for listening in with us today. We really appreciate it.